Joining me on the phone this morning once again is 19th District Senator Jeff Wilson. Good morning, sir.
Well, good morning, Kyle. Great to be back on your show again.
Always a pleasure to have you on and talking about some of the things that on your plate. Of course, the summer months, it means that the festivals are going. The weather is great, and things are just kind of moving along. We were just talking off the air a little bit that the good news is that some of the drought concerns, those seem to be going away. We didn't have as much here in the 19th, but within the state, there were a number of much drier than normal areas.
Absolutely. And, you know, for your listeners today, we know that for the next several days, at least a good chance to go outside and not wear quite so many winter attire. You can go out and enjoy the beautiful neighborhood. We're blessed with truly warm summer weather now, finally.
We're seeing this nice weather, which is great for the outdoor festivals, which is great for sports and different things. And it is warmer than I think my Grace Harbor body can handle in many cases. But, you know, despite not being in drought conditions with the state side, of course, climate change is still a major talking point and a driving force behind a lot of actions being proposed.
Absolutely. You know, the state of Washington it seems climate change is always a very, very hot topic. It remains up there in a priority list. However, when we try to legislate, in other words, your government tries to fix it or adjust it, there's where we run a little bit afoul. And let me give you an example. The legislature in 2021, we passed the low carbon fuel standard. And we also passed the cap and invest carbon fee, which is a tax, to charge those that emit certain tons of carbon. And this is all in the guise to reduce carbon. But, Kyle, that's the problem. It doesn't reduce carbon. What it does is it makes your prices of fuel at the gas pump much more expensive. So we were just talking about the beautiful weather, and you want everybody to go outside and enjoy the great outdoor activities. That may require you to go fill up your car in order to drive to the county fair or to some outdoor festival. But look at the sticker shock, the price of fuel. And as politicians go, especially our governor, it's really nice to point the finger at everybody else. However, we did this. We did this legislation, politicians, we did this to people. We're increasing the price of fuel, especially starting in January or so, Kyle. And I'm concerned, what is this going to do to the average household family that has already had record inflation? And now we're going to have record fuel prices, and our government fees will be applying soon to a fuel pump near you.
You would hope that there would be some sort of reprieve from this. I am seeing some of the rates go down a little bit, but, I mean, nowhere near where they were a couple of years ago, and definitely nowhere near where they were 20 years ago. I can only imagine they're just going to continue to keep going up.
Well, they're going to go up as far as the government's concerned, because, and this is where we must accept responsibility. We got to quit passing the political speech and Buck, Kyle, and blaming others. The Climate Commitment Act legislation, supported and passed by the Democrats, the Democratic majorities in the House and the Senate, this is going to cost you. It's going to cost us. According to all of the studies, Ecology just released their studies, we're going to go up significantly in the price of per gallon of gasoline and diesel. And fuel prices can increase easily between 122% to 150% well before 2030. And that's scary, and it's more scary when our leaders try to downtone this, Kyle. I take an issue with our governor, and I quote, he basically had said, and I quote, we're talking about pennies. This is pennies to who? If you go up 80 cents a gallon of fuel, that's not pennies to people in your community, Kyle, and in our district. That's a lot of money. When you need a $100 bill to put something in your car to get to work and to school, it used to cost you a $50 bill. Those pennies always add up to huge dollars, and that's the impact. Do you put fuel in your car to go to work, or do you cut back on your expenses like this food? And this is how critical this is getting, all in the name of how we're going to save the climate. We are not going to save the climate like this. Washington is such a low-carbon emitter. I suggest that the politicians, including myself, which I'm not shy about, we start talking about India, China, and other major polluters, so no matter what we reduce in Washington State, or try to, they will tenfold increase on a monstrous scale. So this is just a way to tax and take money from you, Kyle.
It always seems ironic that we talk about the cost of gas, and of course I think Washington, and I forget the exact number, but was it like 56 cents per gallon on gas for Washington residents on that tax? But even with that, the state continues to ask for more money for transportation projects, which that 50 some cents is supposed to be funding. So what are we paying that money for, and what is it going for if it's not going to these projects?
Well, I'm going to make a very serious accusation here. I think we are paying for false promises, because you're right. We're told, and we have an 18th Amendment, Kyle, that dedicates what we do with certain monies for roads and bridges. But we just passed a transportation package called Move Ahead Washington, and that was $18 billion spent over 16 years. And guess who got cut out of the process? The 19th legislative district. Out of all those billions, those fees, which are really taxes, increases on your driver's license and your motorcycle endorsement and your plates, oh no, those fees funneled to Puget Sound area projects. The 19th district got a $200,000 trail that I did not, I repeat, I didn't even ask for that. It was just somehow given. So we got $200,000 out of $18 billion. And that's scary because, Kyle, you look, you can see over from Cosmopolis and look into Aberdeen, the Hoquiam, all your neighborhoods. We needed a rail grade separation, a $60 to a $70 million transportation project that would have relieved the community's transportation stress. And that was gone. That project currently doesn't exist on the state level, and I'd be remiss if I didn't at least let your listeners know just how bitter I am over that. That is poor politics, and the reason it's poor politics, there's nothing bipartisan about that package. We weren't even told about it. The Republicans were told about it, not asked to participate. That's the first time in state transportation package history that occurred. We were cut out, and I don't mean to sound angry, but what will it take? I must tell you the truth, and there you hear it.
And not to speak poorly on all legislators, of course, because not all politicians are bad. We know that. But it does seem that the government, in many cases, this both on the local, state, national level, the requests from the people, whether it be this grade separation or you go even higher and you talk about college loan forgiveness or whatever the topic is, the public is very openly, outwardly, and vocally asking for things. And then whether it be Governor Inslee or whatever, they say, oh, well, we're not going to do that. But here's this thing you didn't ask for. Aren't you happy? And instead of just going for what people are asking for.
You know, Kyle, I was retained. I was hired. I was elected by the citizens surrounding you, and I'm honored. But let me do my job. And I tell people that I hear you. I'm hearing the request, and my job is to legislate that and to create policy and effect such, and I can't. And one of the reasons I can't effectively is because we're still, what, the only state a governor is in his third year of operating under emergency mandates and emergency gubernatorial powers? Where's our plan to be normal again? Where's our plan to say we hear the citizens? You know, we've had a lot of learning experiences that have built up to this. I'm not all excited just today, Kyle. This has been building for a while. We could start on topics like $30 car tabs. We don't listen to people. And it's about time we listen to people, but I'm hoping that the deafness, and I pray that the deafness that we all are subject to right now transforms at the polls. Please, everybody, we've got primaries coming up in August. Vote. Please vote. That is how you can change. Currently, the Democrats, they do have the majority in the House and the Senate. And the reflective policies are what you're seeing. If you want change, you're going to have to vote for something different.
Not to get too political and dive too much into it, but it would be, I think, beneficial. We see a lot of candidates, and this is on the local, national, and throughout communities throughout the U.S., candidates will say, I'm going to do this, or I'm not going to raise taxes, or I'm not going to take away your blank, whatever it is. You know, the general kind of things that get said. It would be kind of nice if there was some sort of checklist that said, oh, okay, well, we're going to hold you to that in some capacity. Because during the campaign season, it's the Wild West. Anything goes for what could be said and what could be promised.
You know, Kyle, that's the punishment of campaign elections years. Telling the truth is elusive. A lot of politicians go down what I call the Pinocchio path. Lie, lie, and lie. And you're right, you got to be accountable. And once elected, people need to follow the people they put into office. I'm proud, Kyle. I am overly proud. Please check my voting record. So since I've been in office, did I keep my promises? And that's what voters need to do. We need to warranty what I call the election. If you get into office and you made promises, or you told people of your intentions, then you can prove this and verify this by acting, by showing your voting record or demonstrating that. But Kyle, it is a free-for-all right now, and be very careful. Red or blue, Republican or Democrat, please, voters, vet these people that are running for office. Check up on them, verify them, learn about them, because there are a lot of professional people that just can't seem to tell the truth, and will do, as the old saying goes, anything for that vote.
We're talking about your actions. I want to talk about some of the things that you continue to work on. Of course, wanted to touch on green crab issue is still an issue throughout the area, and some of these larger issues that have kind of fallen off of the news cycle, so to speak. Are these still going forward, and what are we doing to assist our local seafood community from having to go against these?
Exactly. You know, our district, Kyle, the beautiful 19th, and even to the north of us, we're under attack. And I want your listeners to know, no, there's no taking it easy. We're being invaded by the European green crab. So what do we do about something like that, being attacked? Well, for the first thing we do is don't make it political. These are naughty little crabs that we need to fight back about. And I'm looking at legislation, most likely budget-type provisos, that will allow and put a bounty on the green crab's shell or head. Currently, the state departments are taking a very passive approach, just kind of report sightings and report a green crab. No, we don't need to report a green crab. We need to get it out of the bottom of underneath our water and get it away from the Dungeness crab. We need to follow through on the federal ruling that the EPA, and hopefully it'll transform into the Department of Ecology, they've gone too far. Look at our burrowing shrimp, Carbonyl. And we're exploring with things like peppermint oil. So off our coast, just down the street from your studio, you have a war zone between crab, burrowing shrimp, and then you throw in the mix of offshore wind energy. You know, the energy that's going to that's going to make things easier. Well, listen, that should give a great legislative session for me this year to put a spotlight at the shores of your community, Kyle, and your listeners. Because what's going on under the surface of that water and what is going to be going on at sea, finally, we're getting more attention, and I will legislate accordingly on those problems. And, you know, we just have to hopefully see if we can convince the other side to come to the common sense side.
19th District Senator Jeff Wilson, we always thank you for joining us and letting us kind of banter back and forth about some of these issues and get some updates. And we look forward to talking to you again very soon and getting some more talk.
Thank you, Kyle, very much. And everybody stay cool this next coming week. Grays Harbor.